Today, put your relationship through boot camp. As Dr. Jen Berman is here live to answer your love, life, and relationship questions. Call her now at 888-81-COSMO and get in line to get some real honest help from a real honest doctor. This is Cosmo's Relationship Bootcamp with renowned therapist Dr. Jen Berman on Cosmo Radio, Sirius 111.
This is Relationship Bootcamp. That is Dr. Jen Berman, and she is a licensed therapist, a relationship expert. You see her on the Today Show, all sorts of different TV shows, magazines. She's quoted in there. She's an author on the LA Times bestseller list, and she's very expensive in private practice. So you are very lucky to have her for free today on Relationship Bootcamp. Dr. Jen, hello.
Hello, and I'm here with Larry Morgan, who is a very cute guy who I like to spend as much time with as possible. And he's a really good guy, but he also knows how really bad guys think. So he's here to give us the male perspective, because you can't get too much of that.
And we are going to take your calls at 888-81-COSMO. That's 888-81-COSMO. As we go over a lot of different ins and outs of what happens in relationships, the good and the bad.
And we're here to talk about everything about relationships. There is no issue that we will not cover. And we want to hear from you. 888-81-COSMO. We're going to talk about being in relationships. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about finding a man, breaking up with a man, sex, you name it. We want to answer all of your questions. Larry tends to blush a little when we talk about the sex stuff. But hey, there's no call that we won't take, because I'm here to answer all of your questions, and Larry's here to give you the male perspective.
I'm getting a little better. I've been reading up on it, so I feel a little more comfortable.
Oh, good. So I'm not going to make you blush today?
You probably still will find a way. Which is very strange. Our relationship is odd in that way, in that usually the man is the one over here being crude, but there's something I'm very shy when I come around.
Especially because we've gotten some very graphic sex questions, especially things about performance in bed, how to make things happen, how to not make things happen. And we're here to answer all those questions, of course, 888-81-COSMO. And Larry does tend to blush on those, because sometimes I have to get really specific. Sometimes people need instructions.
You know, we already have a call right off the top if you want to take one. Let's talk to Heather in Dallas. Hello, Heather. You are with us on Relationship Bootcamp, and you're on with Dr. Jen.
Hey, Heather. Are you there, Heather?
All right. I'm going to try it again, since this is the first time I've ever done that. Hello, Heather. Can you hear us now? No.
Oh, Heather.
Hi, Dr. Jen.
Oh, there you are, Heather. Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you taking my call, because I'm really, really screwed up about a guy situation I've just had. And, you know, I met this guy. He was just really, really amazing. We had an indescribable whirlwind romance. I mean, we just felt this intensity, this connection. And, you know, I'm kind of even ashamed to say, I think that I felt love really early with him, and he reciprocated, and I was like, I love you, and he loved me. And long story short, he ended up proposing to me after 6 weeks. And I know that sounds crazy.
Wow.
You know, how can you really know that you're in love? But I...
And how old are you, Heather?
I'm 30.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had some relationships, and I've had some hard times, and you know, I was even married before, but I just, you know, I kind of felt like I knew and I was done. You know, this is the guy for me. And so I said yes. But the problem is that really, you know, and this is just very recent. I mean, you know, the next 2 weeks that happened were just like a flip-flopping with him. I just felt him changing and being scared and back and forth from, I love you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But then he would say things like, hold on, you know, do you ever think that we kind of skipped over like all this, the good part of being boyfriend, girlfriend, and we just rushed.
Well, had he ever been married before?
No, he hasn't. I mean, he's had long relationships. So, you know, he's lived with women for several years, and so I thought that he really could commit, because it seemed like there was evidence of him committing.
Sure.
But he scared me so much to my core, because it's been this back and forth vacillating behavior. And like for the fifth time 2 days ago, when he was saying again, I just felt this cold feet, and I freaked out. I really freaked out.
What did you do?
I broke up with him. I just said that.
So you tried to beat him to the punch?
You know, I just like the self-protection, but I mean, I believed him. I really believed that he loved me, and I did some bad things. I'm kind of ashamed of my behavior in terms of just lashing out at him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like he led me on and made me promises, and I just can't.
What happened when you broke up with him? How did he respond?
You know, he said, "I love you. Come back to me. We can work this out." And I didn't trust him. And I didn't believe him. And I think I freaked out. I just was like, you know, I don't believe you, and I don't want to ever talk to you again. Don't call me.
So do you not want to give it another chance?
How can I ever trust him again?
You know? Well, but it sounds like he got scared. It sounds like, well, you may have sensed that he was starting to feel a little ambivalent, that he wasn't breaking up with you. He was just expressing his fear. And I think that it's normal to, and even healthy in a relationship with someone you love, you need to be able to say, hey, I'm scared. Maybe we move too fast so that we can talk about it and process it and then get to the other side. Because if you stick it out and you talk about it with him, there's a chance you could get to the other side. And at the very least, you'll get to know him better and know what's going on and what's going through his mind. And you get to know how he thinks a whole lot better. Whereas if you just break up with him like you did so soon, you don't really know. He might have been okay. He might have been freaking out, but he was going to get to the other side, but needed reassurance from you.
Were you really enjoying the relationship a lot before the proposal came along?
You know, absolutely. Absolutely. Hmm. I mean, before the proposal, you know, it was just a lot of love and sharing and talking about our future. And I really saw myself building a life with him. But just this inconsistency and roller coaster.
Sure.
You know, this guy has some problems.
It's not conducive to a relationship.
Well, it just, yeah.
Tell me about his past. You said you know about his past.
You know, he's had a lot of conflicted relationships where I think he's had some commitment problems. I mean, even though he's had these long relationships, I think he stayed in them longer than he should have. He thinks he has.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has a little bit of a negative view on life. And
on life or on women?
Both.
Yeah.
Thinks life is more full of sorrow than joy. And
ultimately it's going to come down to, do you want to give this another shot, and is he open to it, or do you feel like it's time for you to move on?
In my heart, I'm really conflicted. It makes me feel like I don't know how to trust, because I don't know when someone's really sincere, because this guy just, you know, I can't take the up and down again. And so how can you ever really trust feelings, or when someone says to you that they love you and that they really want to spend their life with you, but then they just, you know.
But it doesn't sound like he said to you that he had changed his mind. He wasn't saying, I don't want to spend my life with you. He was just saying, maybe we move too fast, which to me says, maybe we need a long engagement. Maybe we need to draw this out a little more to make sure that we're both on the same page.
Well, isn't it highly unusual for 6 weeks to be a period of time where you can really feel that comfortable anyway? I mean, if they're all caught up in that kind of honeymoon thing, which 6 weeks still feels like the honeymoon period to me.
It's a really great point. And look, I have to admit, I got engaged really fast with my husband.
Yeah.
Really, really fast. But I don't recommend it. And in 6 weeks, it wasn't 6 weeks. It was 3 months. But, you know, it's... 6 weeks, you're very much in the honeymoon phase. And even though you're probably an experienced dater at this point in your life, 6 weeks is really, it's really fast, and it's a honeymoon phase. And what I would love to see if you move forward in the relationship is for you to get past the honeymoon stage. If you do stay in it, have a long engagement, because you want to get to the point where you hit what we call the negotiation stage, because that's the core issue. Because if you can't, we all do great when we're having great sex and we're swinging from the chandelier and we're loving each other and he likes peas and I like peas and everything's great and we're so in love and aren't we compatible?
Yeah.
But it's when we get to that place where he says, well, you know what? I really don't want to go to your parents on Sunday. And, you know, I don't want to go running this morning with you. You're on your own. And that's when the relationship becomes real. It's when you have to see whether you guys are compatible.
So maybe this is less a issue with trust as much as just kind of recognizing that they both got caught up in things so fast, and maybe it is worth maybe another look?
It just might be. And I think that if you do take another look, I would say really try to wait before you make any wedding plans, because get to know this guy, see how you get through negotiations, see how you work through conflict, and then see if you're still interested in him. The great news is you haven't put down any deposits after 6 weeks. So,
I mean, we've started to plan our lives, though, and moving in together. But I just feel like I don't know.
That I would definitely hold off on. I would definitely hold off on that. He's expressing a lot of ambivalence, and you want to see if he can get past that ambivalence. And now you're ambivalent. So it's really important that you get past your ambivalence, because if this relationship is going to work, you guys have to get to the point where you both are committed. And then I want to see you get past the honeymoon stage. I want to see you get into the negotiation, see how that goes.
Heather, thank you so much for your call. It's Relationship Bootcamp with Dr. Jen. 888-81-COSMO is our number. 888-81-COSMO. And we've got a call. Let's talk to Lindsay in Sacramento. And she's got maybe kind of a similar situation, but she's been in a relationship a little bit longer with this guy, and he's pulling back after a few months. Hello, Lindsay. You're on with Dr. Jen.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Lindsay. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, sure. I got a little bit of that last caller, but mine is a little bit different. I hope you can walk me through this. But I just
sure.
met a guy back in May. It was an instant recognition and intimacy from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He went as far as saying, you know, in the first date, you'll marry me before we're through. Every time we were together, it was just as amazing. I met his mother. I mean, everything going swimmingly. And then he just pulled back. And so I let him pull back, and I walked away. But when we did talk, he was inebriated one night, and he basically gushed his feelings for me. So when he did come back...
The drunken dial. We've all gotten a few
dial.
Of those.
Yeah, and then when I approached him on it a few days later, he said, well, you can't hold me to it. I mean, I was totally incapacitated.
How many times have we used that one?
It's like that episode also like on Sex in the City when Charlotte asks Harry to denounce Judaism right before he has an orgasm. And he says, that doesn't count.
Okay, so he did. That's so funny, Jen. He did say, that doesn't count. And I said, okay, it doesn't count. I did. I let him off the hook. But now what's happened is, because we have such a powerful, just looking at this man, just when we were together, we just look at each other and shake our head and crack up because there's such a recognition there. But now what's happened
sounds
is,
like you have a really strong bond, a great connection.
So. But now we've created business for each other, obviously,
uh-oh,
to keep in touch. And so
let me back up for a sec.
Yeah.
At what point did he have that shift? Was it around the 3-month point?
Yes.
Okay. That mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense.
He told me that these are his words, I just can't have a relationship with someone of your stature right now, with a woman of your stature
wow.
right now.
Did
wow.
your stature change means. Since you met?
Are you 7 feet tall?
I know. No, I'm
what
little.
What does that mean?
It was
with a woman of your stature.
So is it an intimidation factor in some way? Is that
no? I
that's
felt
what
like
it sounds
it,
like.
To me. Well, to me, it felt like it meant I make him sit in truth. I mean, I'm in his face about what's going on.
And also, he may not want to know the truth. You may be calling him on his stuff, and he may be uncomfortable with that. Or he may perceive you as being such a powerful, strong woman that it makes him uncomfortable. And, well, it's probably one of the things that drew him to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, there's what we call the switch. And there's a great book all about from meeting to courtship. And in it, the author, Judith Sills, talks about the switch and that generally it happens after usually about 3 months, sometimes 6 months. And the person who's the pursuer pursues and pursues. And then they go, oh, I got her. And it's usually the guy who's caught the woman
absolutely.
At this point. And then he looks and he goes, OK, what do I have?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets scared.
And what do I do with it?
Yeah. Relating, yeah. Larry?
I don't know what you're talking about. No,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can.
The key after the switch is not to pursue him. You have
right.
to give him the space to figure it out. And either he's going to figure it out and be like, wow, I miss her. I have to have her and come running back after you. Or he's going to say, you know what, this isn't for me. Because sometimes men, and Larry, please jump in, tell me if you think this is true.
Oh, I will.
Sometimes men get so caught up in the chase. They see something they want. They're like, she's beautiful. She's sexy. She's hot. This is great. And then they're like, oh, I got her. Oh, relationship? I never thought about what a relationship might be like with this fabulous creature.
I think for a lot of guys, the chase is actually much more interesting, and then they do like to move on. And then the pursuit back from the woman is a bigger turnoff. Like, wow, what a clingy, get away from me. Yeah. And so that's
often our first instinct to, you know, I have a vision of like holding on to his ankles, like, please don't leave me. but nothing could turn a guy off more.
I really was aware of this. I know exactly.
That's great.
So he actually said to me in that totally incapacitated state, you give me a lot of space. You give me way too much space. So he was acknowledging that I just let it go. But I'm just curious because now he actually brought me a big project that keeps us in our stuff. So we have to
keeps you guys connected. Well,
yeah,
here's what you want to do. You want to do your business with him. As you're doing your business, don't be flirtatious. Be warm. Be friendly. Be lovely. Don't be hostile. Be pleasant. And just do your business. Because if he senses that you are hungry for him and you want him and you're desperate, he's likely to run for the hills. If he sees you as being strong and fine without him, he's far more likely to come to you. And either way, you're going to feel a whole lot better being from that power position as opposed to being desperate.
All right. Thank you very much, Lindsay. We've got more calls to take, and your calls are certainly welcome. 888-81-COSMO. That's 888-81-COSMO. We're going to take a break and be right back with Relationship Boot Camp with Dr. Jen on Cosmo Radio.
Real questions, real answers, and real advice. Dr. Jen talks you through it. Cosmo's Relationship Boot Camp, 888-81-COSMO. today, put your relationship through boot camp.
Boot camp.
As Dr. Jen Berman is here live to answer your love, life, and relationship questions. Call her now at 888-81-COSMO and get in line to get some real, honest help from a real, honest doctor. This is Cosmo's Relationship Bootcamp with renowned therapist Dr. Jen Berman on Cosmo Radio, Sirius 111.
We are live on a Saturday. Dr. Jen is here, the licensed therapist, relationship expert. She's a TV star. She's an author. She's a swimsuit model.
She God
does
forbid.
It all. And we are here taking your calls at 888-81-COSMO, 888-81-COSMO, about, anything about being in a relationship.
No getting matter. In one, getting out of one, sex, not having sex, you name it, we want to hear from you. 888-81-COSMO, live.
And we are hearing from Tina right now. Hello, hey, Tina in Michigan. Hello, Tina.
Hello.
We're actually, so thank you for waiting for so long, but you are on right now with Dr. Jen.
Hey, okay. Tina.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you so much for calling. Good, how are you?
My pleasure. Great, so far so good today. It's a beautiful day here.
Glad to hear. Where are you, Tina?
I am in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
It can get awfully cold in Michigan.
Yes, but today I'm just going to pretend it's going to be like this. I'm actually from California, so I'm a fish out of water here, but I like it.
Well, I'm so glad you called. Tell me what's on your mind, Tina.
Well, it's just funny. Usually I have a lot of questions. Today I have a very sort of simple, complicated question. I've recently met a new gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And really fast energy exchange, lots of laughs, really nice dynamic. And
mm-hmm.
I'm really feeling loose and going with the flow. But now that I think about relationships, I'm starting to get that fear factor, scared factor. Do I dive in? And if I do dive in, how do I make this work better? Or, I don't know.
Better than what?
Better than failed relationships in the past, I would say.
And in the past, what has caused your quote unquote relationship failure?
I don't know. I think just a disconnect. Nothing, just fading out. Horrific. Just sort of, I really can't define it. That's even scarier because it just sort of happens and just goes. So,
but I also,
how many relationships would you say, Tina?
Not many. I was married for a lot of years, and
okay.
all of my, handful of relationships have always been very long term. 8 years, 15 years, 5 years. I don't have series of short relationships. I don't do
and,
that.
And how old are you, Tina?
I am 51. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Sorry, hey, we don't have a last name for you. Just don't ask me.
Thank you for your honesty.
Do you have any kids?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
So now with this new guy, when
friends.
You say...
Just my friends.
Now, when you say you're kind of contemplating delving in,
yes.
What would that look like? What would you be doing if you were delving in?
Just, letting go and being very me and having a lot of fun and... it feels really right. It does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm full steam ahead, but then that logical sort of paranoid side of me says, wait a minute, what are you doing? Are you setting yourself up for failure? Because I've known him a year and a half, and we've just gotten sort of into the real fun part for the last couple of weeks, and it just feels so nice and natural. And I think my paranoia makes me think the rug could get pulled out from under and, it could be kind of heartbreaking in such a short period of time.
Do you do that about other stuff? Do you do that about other stuff, Tina? Like if things are going well at work or whatever, do you go, well, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop?
No, not at all.
Just in relationships.
Well, probably not just, but primarily. Because I can really do without them, and I live pretty happily. Then I long for them, and then I find somebody, and then I'm almost self-sabotaging. I can just feel the little self-sabotage thing.
How do you self-sabotage?
How
do you do it?
Just not letting it just be free and overthinking it, I would say. I don't
okay.
do anything that I can put my finger on, like, oh, I'm going to say something that's going to piss him off. It's more of a,
sure.
Just not trusting. I really want to trust. I like trusting, and it feels really right. And I guess, there you go, I just said it. When it starts to feel too right, I'm assuming there's something wrong. is this normal?
And you know, I don't know if you ever read, I think it's a poem that they say, you know, laugh like nobody's watching, sing
right,
as
right.
loud as you can,
yes,
and love like you've never
yes.
been hurt before. And it almost sounds to me like you've forgotten that you've been hurt and you've survived just fine. And I think that sometimes we have a tendency when we get into relationships, we think so much about the future as opposed to staying in the now and enjoying the present that we anticipate all the pain that might come. But first of all, maybe it won't come. And
you're
secondly,
right.
if it does come, you've survived it before and you will survive it again. You sound like a very strong woman. You've been through a lot. You can handle it. And I think that this relationship stands the best chance of actually working out if you are totally present, if you let yourself be yourself and just enjoy it and embrace it.
And that is so fabulous. And thank you for that. That's really how my mind is thinking. And then there's little tiny, you know, angel devil shoulders, and then the other little voice kind of comes in at some odd moment. Because I've never felt happier or more relaxed with parts of a lot of my life, but this feels really magical, and I just do not.
Enjoy it. Yeah, just enjoy it.
I'm trying not to do that little other voice that is like, be careful, da-da-da, he could hurt you, he could crush you. But at the same time, the smarter, stronger part of me knows that I can't be broken. So I don't know why I'm waiting to get...
You can survive it. Yeah. Listen to your instincts. Enjoy this relationship. Have fun. Embrace it. And when you start to get anxious, when you start to feel scared, remind yourself, I've survived disappointment before. I've survived relationships that haven't worked out. And yet, one other thing, you got me thinking, when you talk about failed relationships, I don't really believe that there's any such thing as failed relationships. Because what we're supposed to do until we meet that person that ultimately we hopefully spend the rest of our lives with is we're supposed to try people on for size and see if they fit and then put them back on the rack if they don't. And I just think that there's no such thing as a failed relationship because we're supposed to have a lot of relationships. That's how we learn how to have relationships, is by having experience. And whether this man is the one who ultimately you end up with or one who teaches you what you need in relationships, it's let it be a good experience. You know,
go ahead. No, I just have funny lines, but I'll give it to you in a second. I think you'll like it. Go ahead.
Oh, tell me.
Well, I wrote him an email, and I said, you know, and I am looking at him like he's such a wonderful gentleman, human being, that if it ended tomorrow, I'd really be a better person for knowing him.
Which is great. That says a lot.
Gave me a little jump start into the defining or visualizing the kind of man or kind of person that I really love and, you know, ultimately would like to
That's
be.
That's great.
With. And so
yeah,
I think,
you know.
Re-entry into the maniverse. That's
that's great. The maniverse. I love that. I love that. I may be borrowing that from you, Tina. You know,
you
I think that
it.
even if his sole purpose is just to raise the bar, that's good enough for me. You know, because that will only help you in your future dating. I remember when I had gotten out of a real long-term relationship and I was doing a lot of dating. And I went on this date with this guy and I was in another state for a class reunion. And I went on this date with him and I thought, why am I going out on a date with this guy? He lives in another state. I don't want to be in a long-distance relationship. Who needs this? What am I thinking? And I went out on this date with him and he was a kind of spiritual guy and he was really adorable. And he said to me on the date, he said, I really believe that every time you go on a date with someone, there's something you're supposed to learn from that person, whether it's a single date or whether it's a long-term relationship. I feel that there's always something that I'm supposed to receive from that person and probably something I'm supposed to give. And I think it's such a great way of conceptualizing dating that it's if you think of it that way, there's never a failed relationship. There's never a wasted date.
Well, excellent. I like that attitude, and I'm really excited about it. I really am, and I want to stay excited, and I want to stay pure and happy and light with it, but I do have a tendency, admittedly, I'm admitting,
sure.
that I just, you know, it just feels so good that, you know, I question it, and I shouldn't, because I really don't genuinely feel that way about this. I feel like this is, I don't mean the real deal forever, per se.
Sure.
It has legs and it has really good. I mean, I've learned more about me and about him in 2 weeks. It's ridiculous. It's been.
Well, that's great. That, you know, stay in the moment.
I've got to. That's a nice piece of advice, and I thank you for that because.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I do tend to sort of project what is, what ifs, what if, all that, those worst case scenarios, and I do think a lot of
it's easy enough to do.
It also comes from listening to my, you know, my gal pals and our tales of woe are good, bad, and you start to compare and go, wow, you know, that guy crushed her and 3 months.
Sure.
And, wow, I don't want to be that girl. And
don't want to go through that. Right.
Yeah. And also there's, there's a tendency, especially when a girlfriend, a friend of yours has been dumped and then another one's in a bad place with guys. If you sit and you talk about it, sometimes it can turn into kind of man bashing, and that's not helpful. You know, we have enough fears about relationships. Sometimes we need to hear support from our girlfriends to say, hey, take a risk. You know, if you get hurt, you can survive. It's okay. And I think that we need to kind of remind our girlfriends sometimes that we're all going to be okay. We have each other. We're there for each other. And we're going to be okay.
All right. Tina, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, too. You're fantastic. Keep up the great work. I've learned
a lot. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. If you would like to talk to Dr. Jen, give us your question right now. 888-81-COSMO. We are live. 888-81-COSMO on Relationship Bootcamp with Dr. Jen. That's 888-81-COSMO. Let's talk about these tips that you brought with you, because I was looking over let's get through maybe the first four of the most important dating tips that
Absolutely.
You were talking about.
You know, and some of these come from my clinical experience. They come from working with clients, and some of them come from the things that I study in graduate school, but some also come from my own experience, I have to admit.
Of which apparently you have much.
Yes, I do. I did my share of dating.
Define a lot.
Well, between that significant relationship that I referred to and meeting my husband, I went on 110 first dates.
Did not.
I did too. And that was only first dates.
Wow. And you fit all that in 6 months. That's unbelievable.
It was 3 years. I was looking for a soulmate. I had a lot of fun dating. I had kind of done my thing, and I felt like, okay, now I'm ready to meet someone really significant and have a meaningful relationship.
Well, then you must have some good dating tips.
Well, the first one is really just that it's just a numbers game. It's one thing when you're like, hey, I just want to go out and have some fun. I want to hook up with someone, and we'll be talking about hookups later. There's a great article in Cosmo in the October issue all about hookups, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But that's one thing. It's another thing when you're looking for a boyfriend or looking for a soulmate, looking to have a significant relationship. And when you're looking for that, that's a lot harder to find. It's easy to find a soulmate for a night, so to speak, but it's a lot harder to find someone who you really connect with. But the way to do it is to realize it's a numbers game, that you have to date a lot. And kind of like that guy shared with me on that date, that each date teaches you a little bit more about what you need in a relationship. Mm-hmm. After 110 dates, I was really clear by the time I met my husband what I wanted in a relationship. And I thought I was clear on my first date. But it turned out that there was so much that I didn't know that I wanted or needed. And after going out with 110 guys on 110 first dates, I started to realize that there were things that I hadn't even thought of that I wanted in a relationship that were really important. And there were some things that I thought were really important that just weren't that important.
And it seems like maybe if you find somebody that you're mildly compatible with, that you just go, oh, okay, I'm going to make this one work because I'm close enough. Because you said, you know, try on a lot and then put them on the rack if they don't fit. But it seems like a lot of people get in bad relationships simply because they find a couple of things. Maybe they haven't bonded over vegetables.
Yeah,
like you said,
exactly.
You like peas.
We're soulmates.
Which, by the way, is very important. Yeah. Make sure you have the similar stand on broccoli before you move forward.
Peace, all mates.
All right, so we've only gotten through one tip, but we should take a break. So, but we'll still take your calls right now, 888-81-COSMO, about any relationship question you may have, anything we've talked about already, or you want to delve into, you know, sex stuff.
I'll let you know if Larry blushes.
Finding a man, any of those. 888-81-COSMO, if you would like to ask some advice from Dr. Jen. This is Relationship Bootcamp with Dr. Jen on Cosmo Radio.
This is Cosmo's Relationship Bootcamp with Dr. Jen. Real advice from a real doctor for your relationship realities. Cosmo Radio, Sirius 111. Chicago's Relationship Boot Camp with Dr. Jen. Call in now. Get some personalized perspective on love and much more. 888-81-COSMO. That's 888-812-6766. Cosmo Radio, Sirius 111.
It is Dr. Jen and Relationship Boot Camp on Cosmo Radio. That number again is 888-81-COSMO, 888-81-COSMO for any relationship advice or question you may have.
And I'm Dr. Jen. I'm here with Larry.
I'm just some guy.
He's some guy, but who knows how those guys think.
Yeah, yes, I do.
Yes, he does.
And let's go ahead and take a call right away. We've got Evie in Iowa who has an interesting question, and I will let Evie tell you about that.
Hey, Evie.
You're on with Dr. Jen, Evie.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Well, I was calling because this, I've actually always wondered this, and all my friends have wondered this. I managed to date the worst guys. And when I say the worst guys, like, I can pick them. We'll just put it that way. And, like, I've been cheated on by one guy, and then, like, I let him keep coming back. And then another guy, I had an illness, and I had to have emergency surgery, and I asked him to take care of my dog, and he said, oh, I only have one day off, so I can't do that.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like it sounds like some pretty narcissistic guys. It sounds like some guys that are pretty self-centered.
Yeah, and I know that. And I mean, my friends definitely tell me and point me out to keep me grounded. But my question is, I can never be mad for more than an hour. Like, when I know I'm supposed to be mad, I act mad. Like, I don't return the phone calls and say, honestly, I can't hold a grudge, like, more than 20 minutes, and all my friends are like, he cheated on you, or he, you know, like, abandoned your dog after you guys beat him. You're like, why aren't you mad? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. And they're like, you have no emotional attachment. Like, why don't you react? And, like, I get mad for, like, 20 minutes, and I'll yell at them, and then I'll be like, whatever, I'm over it.
Sweet, perfect girlfriend. Great.
Larry wants to date you now.
Stay with it, Evie. Bye.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm gonna disagree with your girlfriends when they say you have no attachment. I said, it sounds like you are getting very attached very quickly, and I think that there are a few things going on. I'm gonna tell you the superficial reason why you can't stay mad, the more deep reason why you can't get mad, and then I'm gonna tell you something that's gonna change your life.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Everybody, hold on, Evie. Okay. Let me just find out real quick how old you are.
I'm 23.
Okay.
And the fact that you're 23, so you're still pretty new in the dating arena. When I give you this last piece of information, it's gonna be life changing, and it's gonna change how you date.
Wow. Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, hold on tight. Okay, on a purely superficial reason, why do women have a difficult time staying mad at men? Purely superficially, they're really cute. They validate us. They make us feel good. When we're with a guy that we really like, the sex is great. It's good stuff. It feeds our ego. It makes us feel good. On a deeper level, it's about attachment. And it's painful to feel that separation of attachment, that when we're angry at someone, we worry that they're going to abandon us. We worry they're going to be angry at us back, even if they've done the bad thing to us. For example, if you look at, like, I have two two-year-old daughters. And sometimes I had one recently who I think she was playing with a toy that was dangerous. And so I took the toy away. She got really angry at me and she came over and she hit me. And I said, you know, we don't hit in this family. And I looked at her and I kept a straight face. And then she looked at me and she burst into tears.
Oh.
And then a minute later, she looked at me and she said, Mama, hug! Mama, hug! And the reason why that happens is because in that moment, she felt separate from me. And it was that feeling of separateness that raised her anxiety. And it's no different in a relationship. When we're close to someone and we feel really attached, and then all of a sudden, even if we're mad at them, she was mad at me, she hit me, it still is painful to feel that separation, and we fear abandonment. And I suspect that fear of abandonment may go back with you a ways. That's just a guess here.
Yeah, see, now the thing, it doesn't. I have a great family, and I've never been anything. anything, any bad stuff like that. So that's, I don't understand that. But okay.
But also know that, that fear of abandonment, you don't have to be abandoned by your father when you're a little girl. You don't have to have had trauma or been abused in any way.
Yeah, if sometimes, you grew up in a really supportive environment, then you probably are really afraid of losing a supportive environment.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes it's more subtle. You know, sometimes it's something really small, like when, you know, you were left at kindergarten, it was scary to be alone, and, you know, your parents didn't stick around in a long enough fashion to make you feel comfortable. Now, here's the thing, and I'd be curious to have you kind of really rack your brain and really look at your background and see if there's anything that comes up with, because a lot of the time in therapy, when I talk with clients in my private practice, I say to them, when they feel that feeling, you know, that feeling that comes up when you feel mad at him and then you feel like, I can't stay mad. Is this an old feeling or a new feeling? And if it's an old feeling, how far back does it go? Because usually it goes back a ways, that feeling of separateness. And Freud came up with this really interesting idea, and I'm going to make it very simple. He called it repetition compulsion. And basically, what he said is that our unconscious doesn't know the difference between past, present, and future. And our unconscious is always trying to resolve past issues. And if we feel anxious about attachments, if we feel anxious about being abandoned, then we are going to seek out people who are likely to abandon us, because our unconscious wants to resolve this in the present tense and doesn't know that it's not the past. So if you have anxiety about being abandoned, you're very likely to pick men like the cheaters, like the guy who didn't take care of your dog, like these narcissistic guys who are likely to abandon you, because your unconscious wants to resolve this. So the key for you is going to be to realize, as you're dating, to look for, you from just the two men you described, you have a pattern. Your pattern is dating guys who are really self-focused, who care more about themselves than you. And so what you want to start to do is when you're dating, in the early stages of dating, you want to look at, is this guy someone who fits my pattern that hasn't worked for me? And if he does, you want to run for the hills, and you want to run fast, because it's really easy to say, oh, he's so cute, well, I'll just sleep with him once and then I'll run for the hills. Or, you know, we'll just go out on a couple dates. Oh, he's so cute. It won't hurt me. I'll just go out with him a few times. But the thing is that it sounds like you have a tendency to get attached pretty quickly. Uh-huh. And the longer you're with these guys, the more likely you are to get attached. And there's a terrible thing that Mother Nature has done to us women. And Larry, I'm sure you love this about us. But here's the thing. When we have sex with a guy, our brain releases something called oxytocin. Oxytocin makes us bond with them. It's the same thing that's released in our brains after we give birth when we're breastfeeding, to make us bond with our babies. I know, it's cruel. It's really not fair.
And so, especially since what gets released in the man is whatever that endorphin is to make us want to go to sleep right away.
Yes, they're done.
It's
they're out. They're sleeping.
Reactions.
And we're now suddenly in love.
Cuddle what? Yeah. Snore.
And that's one of the tough things also about hooking up, is that a lot of the time, there are some women who can have sex like men. There are many women who can just have sex and be done and go off. But for most women, our brains release this chemical. And especially, you know, sometimes you can get away with a couple times. But if you start sleeping with someone regularly and he's saying, like, I can't commit, you know, as long as you're clear, we're just having sex. And you're like, yeah, I'm cool. All of a sudden, your brain starts releasing this and he seems like the greatest catch ever. And you just want to be with him. And you think you're in love with him. And it clouds our judgment, because suddenly this guy who's a narcissistic guy, who won't take care of your dog, who's cheating on you, seems like someone who you're just madly in love with, and it's mostly chemical, and that's one of the tough things about hooking up early.
Yeah. And now, is this the kind of pattern that, I hate to, you know, I'm not smart enough to be able to figure this out, but is this the kind of pattern that could develop into the one where the woman stays in an abusive relationship, or, you know, and just kind of lets herself be, you know, really
abused and
yeah,
harmed.
And,
yeah, it can. And that's also why it's so important for Evie to start to nip this in the bud, because it's so hard, because also we gravitate to certain kinds of men that feel familiar to us. And for Evie, these jerky kind of guys, they feel familiar, so she's very drawn to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time for Evie to look outside her comfort zone and also to give guys a chance that she might not otherwise. To go on a second date with a guy who she thinks, this guy's not my type, or I don't know, he seems nice. If you can tolerate a second date, go. Because it's time to change your patterns.
If you can tolerate a second date. Well, that's going to motivate her.
Yeah. But it's time to change those patterns, Evie.
All right.
Okay.
Evie, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you so much for calling.
All right. 888-81-COSMO, 888-81-COSMO. We are live on this Saturday taking your questions for Dr. Jen about relationships, about anything revolving around relationships. And 888-81-COSMO. And take advantage of this, because if you had to go visit her at the office every day, you don't even want to know what the bill would look like. This is a prime opportunity to get some
free advice
and good advice, as it turns out. All right. So let's get back to the dating tips that we started on, because we really only got to the first one.
Yeah.
But these are good. These are good.
And we do want to take your calls.
Yes.
The second tip, and this is one of the hardest ones, I think, as a woman, it's particularly difficult because we tend to do this, and that's don't take it personally. As it sounds like the craziest thing you've ever heard, but dating is not personal. That so much of dating, it feels like you're being rejected at the core of your being, but a lot of what dating is about compatibility. It's, if you think of a salt pepper and a salt shaker and a pepper shaker, they need to match to work. And it's the same thing with dating, that there you can go out on a date, and I'm sure most of the ladies listening have done it, where you go out on a date with a guy and you're like, he is so cute, he's really nice, he's even kind of funny, but I just don't feel it.
Just not getting that vibe.
Yeah, sometimes it's that elusive chemistry thing, but it you have to feel that compatibility, and that's not personal. That is chemical. That has to do with your history, his unconscious, all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, it maybe he likes redheads, you're a brunette, whatever it is. And it's very hard not to take it personally, but I really recommend that women don't take dating personally. And I think that that's really relevant, especially to Tina, who called earlier, who was talking about being in a relationship, being afraid of getting hurt. If she does get hurt, it's not personal. It means it just wasn't compatible, or the timing wasn't right, and that's okay. And it's hard to get over that, but it's important for women to know it's not personal, because also if you make it personal, dating becomes incredibly painful and incredibly scary. And dating needs to be fun. It needs to be a lot of fun and experimenting.
Yeah, you can't necessarily put so much import on every single date. Like, this could be will this be the one or will it not? Because that's just you're going to psych yourself out. You're going to be nervous about every little thing you do and critical of every little thing they do.
And it becomes so heavy.
Yeah.
It becomes really, really heavy.
It's Relationship Bootcamp with Dr. Jen. Still taking your calls anytime. 888-81-COSMO. That's 888-81-COSMO, toll free if you would like to talk to her. We are talking live right now and putting you through boot camp relationship-wise. 888-81-COSMO. Okay, dating tip number three.
Okay, dating tip number three is keep yourself on the market. If you're really looking for a significant relationship, you're not just looking for hookup, and if you're looking for hookup, that's cool too. But if you're looking
It's cool
as long as you are clear. You have to be clear. That's the thing. But if you're looking to hook up, that's fine. But if you are looking for a long-term relationship, keep yourself on the market. Don't be so quick to take yourself off the market. Really get to know someone before you make that commitment, because sometimes we have that instant feeling of infatuation, and it feels like love. And a few of our callers have talked about, as they've called, like, oh, you know, we make each other laugh. It felt like the one. It was so great. Give it time.
Yeah.
Give it time, and don't take yourself off the market, because you want the chance to kind of sample from the platter until you make a decision in it. And sometimes when we take ourselves off the market too quickly, we forget how valuable and how wonderful we are. We have a scarcity mentality of, oh, there aren't enough men out there. But you know what? There are plenty of men, and all it takes is one.
So you shouldn't feel like you have to be exclusive with this other person right away.
I
kind of see that pattern developing with my son, which there's a very kind of noble attribute to this idea that he doesn't want to, you know, date around. He really likes the idea of being in a regular relationship. But it's weird because I'm trying to, you know, I don't want to push him to be casual. He's you know, he's a late teens, and I want him to take women seriously. And he's very respectful, but he's so conscious of not wanting to hurt their feelings or that sort of thing.
And which is really sweet. And I think the other part of this is be honest. If you're keeping yourself on the market and you're dating other guys, don't act like you're not. Make sure that you're really clear, that you say, hey, I'm not ready for a commitment. I'm really enjoying dating you. Let's see where this goes. But I'm still a free agent.
Yeah. Relationship Boot Camp with Dr. Jen is what you're listening to. We are taking your calls, too, at 888-81-COSMO, 888-81-COSMO. We have some coming in, and we'll get to those in just a second. But let's go ahead and give you tip number four before we take our break on dating tips.
Tip number four is clean house, both literally and figuratively. You want to make sure that your home is inviting to someone else and that your baggage isn't literally sitting out on the floor. You don't have pictures of your ex-boyfriend. Your house isn't such a mess that people walk in and go, ooh. But also, even more importantly, emotionally speaking, clean house. Make sure that you work through, if you have an ex that you're not over, make sure that you do whatever you need to do to get over that. Talk through it. Burn sage, whatever you need.
Burn sage. have an Indian shaman.
Exactly.
Come in and
whatever it is you need to do. Talk to your girlfriends, read some books, get some therapy, whatever it is you need to make sure that you're ready and you're open for that next relationship. That is key.
And also part of that, it sounds like, is not only literally cleaning house, but don't bring that relationship with you to the next date kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, don't talk about your ex on the first date. I mean, I think we all know that, but every once in a while it bears mention. And sometimes he may come up because, you know, he got you that great book that you guys happen to be talking about. Doesn't need to know it's from your ex. Because then, and tell me, Larry, don't you think this is true? If you hear about an ex on a first date, don't you go, huh? Is she not over him?
Oh, of course. Well, yeah. I think that would go for either side. Especially if it's, you know, you can talk about maybe the previous relationship, I would guess, but you don't necessarily want to talk about it in some sort of, oh, you know,
he was such a jerk,
or nostalgic,
oh, I was so
terms.
In love. Yeah.
All right, so we are taking your calls. This is Relationship Boot Camp. Dr. Jen is here, a licensed therapist, a relationship expert. She's on TV all the time. I just saw you on the Today Show not too long ago, right?
Yeah, the Today Show and the Early Show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're all over the place.
I'm everywhere.
And author of LA Times best-selling book. Give us a call at 888-81-COSMO. That's 888-81-COSMO for any questions about relationships that you need.
Relationships, sex, breakups, getting back together. Should you take him back? Should you keep him? What should you do with him? All that kind of stuff.
Excellent. 888-81-COSMO. We're going to be coming back. We're going to talk to Corinne, who has a question about how to help her husband with substance abuse. And then
that's a good one.
We've also got Randy, who's 20, dating two guys and wants to figure out how to choose. We'll be right back.